Clarence Brown, welcome to The Signal.
How you doing, Aaron?
Welcome back, I should say. It's a real pleasure to host you here now under your current auspices as a published author. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't believe it until I saw the book itself.
And it just came back from the printer last night.
Yes, it did.
So this is hot off the presses. And I should say, Clarence, you and I met first back in 2009 when you were attending a weekly writing workshop at Baltimore's Healthcare for the Homeless. At that time, you had just recently come off of a 26-year stretch of using heroin. This was an addiction that at various points had cost you your home, your family, your freedom. Mm-hmm. But when we met, you had recently turned a fragile corner. At that point, you were in a residential recovery program. You had 7 months clean and counting at the time. And I remember you telling me then, you said each new day was a struggle for mindfulness and patience while you focused on avoiding relapse. And so I'll just ask first how life has been for you since then.
Well, it hasn't changed in that it is still a struggle for mindfulness. I mean, anybody who's been out in the street will tell you that when you stop using drugs, it doesn't mean you stop craving them or stop just really wanting that life back, because you're not responsible for anything, and I think a large part of it is running from responsibility.
Yeah. As far as the practical day-to-day activities of your life, you are gainfully employed now. You've got your own place. Talk a little bit about where you are in the rebuilding process of a normal life.
Well, when a person stops using drugs, they're effectively transported back to the age when they began using them. That's the development that they've reached. And what I'm doing now, I'll be 51 in February. What I'm doing now, I should have done when I was 21, 22. And that's creating a life. Right now, I'm running around this 21-year-old guy looking at my future.
One of the things I do remember you saying is that when you are a heroin addict, your entire life is spent totally preoccupied with either using heroin or trying to figure out how to get more heroin. And then once you stop using, you really just quite simply have to figure out how to occupy your time. And that, I think, is where your writing process comes into the equation. Talk a bit about how and why you first put pen to paper after your recovery and how your writing has evolved since then.
Long ago, back before I ever started using drugs, maybe when I was 16, 17, I said to myself that I was going to be a writer. I knew that it was something that I could do. And I was very confident at the time that someday I was going to be a writer.
You were a voracious reader as a kid as well, if I remember.
I was. I read everything I could get my hands on, and most of it was Stephen King and science fiction and just a lot of escapism.
I should say that your writing that you engaged in after your recovery a couple of years ago was poetry, and I remember your poetry was very confessional. It seemed like you were really on a quest to be as unblinkingly honest with yourself as possible. And I have to say, this novel, Needs, seems to have that same kind of drive behind it. I wonder if you could talk about the protagonist in this story, Brenda Washington, and how you shaped her character, what she's all about.
Well, I grew up with five sisters in Charlottesville, Virginia. And a lot of my values, I think, were shaped by them. And Brenda Washington is an extension of those five women, as well as other women that I've known in my adult life. Brenda is a Baltimore City police detective, and she has a heroin addiction. During the course of the story, she battles that, as well as a gentleman who's committing a lot of grisly murders around Baltimore. I don't know if I can say more than that without kind of destroying things, but I'll just put it this way. There are a lot of male characters in the book that are parts of me. And some of the female characters are parts of me. That development took, I would say, the 26 years that I was out on the street.
Yeah, I have to say, this novel obviously has the kind of intimate portrait of addiction that you might expect, considering your personal experience with heroin. But it also has an incredibly tight plot line, It's got these chapters with cliffhanger endings. It's got elements of hard-boiled detective stories. It's got romance, science, even something almost of the supernatural in one of the abilities that your protagonist Brenda has. So science fiction even. I have to wonder how in the world you pulled this all together in a first novel after 26 years on drugs, no less.
Well, you know what? I think that story was building during the time that I was out there. I think that when I was younger, before I got involved with drugs, I did always kind of fly off into stories of my own. But during the course of the time that I was out in the street, I saw and did several of the things that you'd read in a novel. And it's a novel, but it's a true story.
I wonder what kind of personal demons you had to face writing a book like this and having to go back to it day after day, week after week, month after month, and spend so much time with this story that had so much of your own darkest moments in it. I mean, it's obviously ultimately therapeutic, but it's got to be painful along the way.
Well, you know what? It was two-sided. It was the excitement of writing something and knowing that I was getting it done, getting it right, and I was telling the truth and people should hear this. And at the same time, it was having to look at my darkest situations, times when I was really hungry, times when I had to beg people, times when I was made to do things that I never thought that I would do. I thought I was too strong for that sort of thing.
From WYPR in Baltimore, this is The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin, joined this week by novelist Clarence Brown. His book, Needs, is the story of a Baltimore City detective, Brenda Washington, who locks in on the trail of a serial killer who appears to be choosing drug addicts as his victims. And obviously, it's a great mystery. I don't want to give too much away about this mystery, but I wonder if you can say a few words about the villain that Brenda is destined to encounter and his sort of conflicted, sadistic attitude about his victims.
Well, Julius is an amalgamation, I think, of myself and a lot of the people that I've met in the street selling drugs. He's smart as a whip. He knows how to speak perfect King's English, but he's aware that he's more accepted in the street speaking slang. He's tired of being that way, and he's also a crack addict. It's kind of a terrifying combination, but it exists out in the streets of Baltimore.
And there is something in him that has such a deep-seated loathing for addicts, and yet he is one himself. I wonder if that's maybe a reflection of some of the self-loathing that comes along the way with being an addict.
Absolutely. I say in the book at one point, the hell of it is, you know that what you're doing is wrong, and you'll sometimes beg God to help you stop as you light your pipe or as you point your needle. The knowing does nothing to stop you.
Clarence, one of the things I remember you saying to me a couple of years ago that really surprised me was that you have to be very careful as a recovering addict not to try to, you know, quote-unquote recover everything in your life too quickly. Let me ask you to explain that struggle a little bit, especially now that you seem to have so much, you know, creative momentum going your way.
Well, I think it reflects the general attitude towards addicts. A person comes out of jail and swears to themselves that they're never going to go out and get high again. They realize that this is how they lost everything and how they'll never have anything if they don't straighten up. And if that addict is not careful, all of his attention will be swung towards getting these things and becoming socially acceptable. And there's not enough spirit to divide between staying clean and getting normal, if you understand what I'm saying. If you're an addict, you better not try to be like everyone else or keep up with the Joneses. You only have enough energy, spirit, or love from God to move forward in your recovery. Guys will get out in the street and be 20 years clean and forget that. And the next time you see them, they'll be getting a one-day keychain.
That said, and I'm sure you're taking this all with characteristic humility, but this book just came off the printing press yesterday. It's headed to Barnes & Noble bookstores. It's headed to Amazon.com, everywhere else. What does it feel like to hold the finished product in your hand?
It's kind of amazing. I mean, if anyone had told me 5 years ago that I would be sitting at this table with you right now looking at this copy of a book that I wrote, I would have laughed. I would have laughed and I would have cried and then I'll laugh some more. It's very much like the last time I was here. I was amazed that people even wanted to listen to me. And you showed me some emails after the show, and I was swept away by that people heard me and that they understood me and that people said, "Oh wow, your writing is good." Because no matter how many family members or people that you know come and tell you that you do really well, you need a little more. You need someone who's in the field, someone who has written a book, or someone who edits books, or someone who puts books out there. You need some of those people to tell you, yes, this is good, and it can go further than you've gone.
And just to bring things full circle here, we keep talking about when we spoke before. Just to let me remind listeners that you and I met back in 2009 while you were in a writer's workshop at Healthcare for the Homeless. I wonder, have you been back there recently? Is it still going on?
It is still going on. I haven't had time to really go and be there, but I have been in contact with some of the people there at Healthcare for the Homeless, and they're also wanting to set up some sort of arrangement with me as well. I would like to, at this time, I want to thank Professor Neil Hertz and Bob Jones, who were running the writing group at that time. Those two guys pushed me and pulled me into this. And I'll say I took off on my own pretty well, but there were a lot of phone calls where I was like, am I doing this right? Neil, help me. Bob, what do you think? I want to thank those two guys. And I would also like to thank my publisher, Clorinda Harris. She's the fairy queen.
Clarence Brown is the author of the new novel, Needs, published by Brickhouse Books of Clorinda Harris and distributed by Itasca Books. That's Itasca Books.com. And Clarence, thank you very much for joining us this week, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Aaron.